Hear the word of God. The reading this morning is taken from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and this can be found on page 976 of the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Greeting. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and are faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite us things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the next few weeks, having spent time exploring prayer, we're going to be focusing on the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, as you might have gathered from earlier. And this morning I'd like to give an introduction to the letter, who wrote it, when, to whom, the purpose, and an overview of the message that it contains. And this will be developed by Andy and Gordon and Mike over the next few weeks. We look, it's very clear. Paul makes a claim to have written the letter. And in chapter 3, verse 1, we can understand that it was written while he was imprisoned in Rome. Now, there are historians and academics who would dispute some of this. I don't think we need to worry exactly about analysis of language and structure and the Pauline way of placing emphasis on doctrinal truth and moral duty, to pick up one person's argument. It doesn't really matter who penned it. What matters is that the Holy Spirit inspired it, and through history and through testing, it has been included in the gospel. We need to listen to what this letter tells us. Very important news. However, when you start to look at this epistle and the other letters that we know Paul wrote to other churches, to the Colossians, the Galatians, the Philippians, and many others, actually asked to be circulated. This, in the original manuscripts that have been found, didn't even mention the church at Ephesus. It addressed the letter to the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And you know that means us. It's Paul's letter to Craig Locker, just as much as it was to the Ephesians. Is God's message the same? And interestingly, in this letter, there aren't the personal greetings. When Paul wrote to other congregations, he said hello and thank you and mentioned people by name. The only name comes right at the end to mention Tychius, or however his name was pronounced. We can't say I'm wrong, we can't say I'm right. People have different ways of saying the same name. And that comes right at the end when he gives him this wonderful description. The dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, who will tell you everything that you may know how I am and what I am doing. And also adds the point that the reason for sending him and the letter is to encourage them. This letter is to encourage us, here and now, as well as it was to the people, presumably in Ephesus, all that time ago. Also, this letter is a little bit different because Paul isn't hammering home a specific doctrine or a practical problem of the way they're working out the gospel. I mean, to the Romans, he said, the way of salvation is through grace alone, and it's open to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. The Corinthians, he starts off in a very tender note, and then says, we need to deal with your issues of pride, of avarice, and lust that has led to all the discord and factions. And he gives clear teaching about daily living, worship, the Lord's Supper, and on and on and on. And then at the end, the importance of the resurrection. He does encourage them in his second letter to the church in Corinth by saying, you've handled this really well. But be careful, don't get corrupted by mixing with unbelievers. Focus on Christ. This is picked up again in his letter to the Galatians, so we can start to see a pattern coming as these letters were sent round the churches so that everybody was built up in the faith. That we have to stand fast in the liberty which comes through Christ alone. The Philippians are reminded to love other people, despite how they treat you. And the letter to the Colossians warns about the dangers of religious zealots trying to whip you into shape and keep you into a narrow approach, making sure you understand that in Christ you have been set free from the laws and rules and regulations that man has created around religion. And we are promised that Christ will come again. And those in Thessalonica were sent two letters warning them, but don't try to find out exactly when. He might come now. He might come in thousands of years' time. What is important that is here and now, every minute of every day, we need to be watchful, sober, self-controlled, and interestingly, take care of our ministers. And finally, to pray that you are led by the Spirit in all that you do. There's none of that in Ephesians. There's no particular issue that he identifies. There's no particular context, no moving out of the right path. This letter seems to me more like a sermon on the mighty purpose of God that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that is being worked out every day by the church wherever it is. It's a prayer of praise to God for the promised inheritance to be sons of God as we are fulfilled through Christ. And then has the wonderful words that we do use as a doxology and a benediction still, that celebrates God's love for, and his majesty, might and power. As he is, we bring our prayers and we bring our praise to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. What a wonderful boost for our confidence. What a wonderful assurance and reassurance that what Christ said he was doing, he did. That the Holy Spirit that was promised is here. Just the sort of message we need when life seems to get tough and we get confused and we have our doubts and we have our questions. And it's for this reason that the message of this letter isn't restricted to one place or time. It applies to all who believe. The main themes that Paul brings up that we're going to be exploring in this morning, the spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ. And we're going to look at ways in which we are made alive in Christ, established in Christ, have unity in Christ, have light for life in Christ, and strength in Christ. No other ways, no other diversions. All is in Christ. So, to look at the opening passage that we've read today, the opening phrase to me says an awful lot. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God. Not somebody who knows quite a bit and would like to tell people things. Not someone acting in his own authority, as Paul had done before his conversion. But one sent from God and by God. Not due to his personal merits, although it would seem that he had a great deal of accomplishments and skills, but one who is sent by the will of God, totally reliant on God and living in Christ. The letter is to the faithful in Christ. This is expanded in some of the commentaries as the saints set apart by God to be holy. All who are called to live in holiness. All who are set apart from evil and faithful. And this, being faithful in Christ, is the privilege, responsibility, and call of all Christians. The implication to me seems to be coming through by Paul that while a Christian lives in this world, which we all do, we are at the same time alive spiritually through Christ. We are living our normal human lives, but with Christ's guidance, inspiration, and strength. Not reliant on our own means for satisfaction and peace and gifts and talents, but open to the movement of Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. This wonderful spiritual blessing, we're not left to do it on our own, because there would be not one of us able to do it. But through the Holy Spirit, given so freely, we are able to stand and say, I believe in the risen Lord. And in verses 3 to 10, Paul pours out a wonderful hymn of praise. We were chosen from the very beginning. The eternal sovereign purpose of God is to dwell in perfect harmony with all creation. When we look back to Genesis, he made it. It was good. It was good. It was very good. We are adopted into this inheritance of glory through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we become sons and heirs of God, the message Jesus brought us. Not through our human effort, not through what we achieve, not through what we strive for. But it's predestined in love. And that word then starts to raise all sorts of questions. But for me, it means that we were marked out before him. God decided before the word of creation called life into existence. This is what I'm doing so that I have a perfect creation, so I am in fellowship with all creation, that I am as one with all humanity. And we made a mess of it. And we do make a mess of it. But we are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are made holy. We are regarded as blameless and without blemish before God as we acknowledge and accept the grace poured out freely on the cross. God's will and desire is for every individual to be in this new relationship. He has predestined us to be in a good relationship with him. By faith in Jesus Christ, that is revealed and that is made possible. And that wasn't just for the children of Israel, who'd always been God's chosen people, but opened to us all. The temple curtain was torn asunder. The way to God, to the near presence, to the embracing arms of God, is open to us all through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the key moment. That is the pivotal moment for the world, but for each and every one of us. Jesus, the Son of God, the good news of salvation, the way, the truth, the life, through which it is possible to be as one with God. And God's purpose of salvation is no longer a mystery, but accessible to all who have heard, have confessed, and put their faith in the gospel. And this hearing and believing is sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is God with us today. And this idea of being sealed that Paul uses, it can have various meanings and implications. It's to be marked, identified, stamped. No doubt of our ownership, and no doubt of where our loyalty lies. And it also puts some sort of a stamp or a guarantee. I bought a camera for my granddaughter yesterday, and this is the guarantee, still has the image of a wax seal. Clearly stated rights, but also the clearly stated responsibilities. It becomes a legal contract and position. But also a seal is a deposit. It's a pledge. It's a promise. It's a foretaste of what is to come. No matter what goes wrong, we will stick to this. We will keep what we have said. And our promise, our pledge, the deposit that we have, is for God-given inheritance and eternal life in his kingdom. These blessings and promises are not what we can earn through works, through religious practices, the style of dress, the ways of living. It is 100% a gift from God. It is the outpouring of his grace and his desire for each and every one of us, whom he knows, whom he loves, as if they were the only person in the world. What a promise Paul gives us in this opening chapter of his letter. What good news to get. What a wonderful letter, that, as the little one said, you want to read it again and again. Yes, we do. And I would encourage you, as we start to look at this book on Sundays, read it again. Be refreshed, be inspired. Be overjoyed by the promise. God desires to bless us. God yearns to forgive us and mark us as his for all eternity. Despite all the evils of the world, God is there with us, blessing us, protecting us, guiding us, motivating and inspire us. And as the body's cracking up a bit, it's independent of that. Christ is there for us. At whatever stage we are, the things that we used to do and we can't no more, yes, we have regrets, we have our down moments. But look to the future. What doors is Christ opening up? Because despite and regardless of our wayfulness, our disobedience, our idea that we actually know what we're doing and we should be in charge, he still blesses us. He is still with us. Once we have asked him into our lives, he will never, ever leave. And even if we don't understand it and our faith seems very shaky at times, he is there. This doesn't say, and for a few months or for a little while. It doesn't say we're always going to be on the mountaintops of experience, but when we go down into the depths, that's where we find Jesus waiting. With his arms out, we can't fall through. And it's a wonderful promise that we have. All we are asked to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Admit that we get it wrong, that we have done things that have been contrary to God's will, and to open our hearts and our minds and will to the Holy Spirit. A wonderful message, not just to the Ephesians, but to us here today. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are indeed Lord of all. You have been Lord since the first breath of creation, and you will be Lord to the end of time. You are a creator of all that has been, that is, and ever will be. We confess that we take so much for granted and seek our own way rather than seeking to follow you. We thank you once again for Jesus, for his life, his death, and his resurrection that opens the door to new life as sons and daughters of the risen King. We offer our lives before you now and ask you to take your rightful place in the throne of our hearts. Show us where we put up barriers to the Holy Spirit through disobedient doubt and selfish desires. And fill us with a longing to know you more closely, trust you more deeply, and follow you more nearly each and every day. In Jesus' name, Amen.